I'll follow in the name of Jesus. Today we receive the revelation that is found in the written word. I see you as you behold us in your glory. You glorify, you edify in Jesus' name. Clarity comes to our hearts, comes to our mind as your word is taught and received. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, quickly. We started our the series Understanding the Gospel. This is the third series. This is the third series, and this is the second section, right? Hallelujah. So, we didn't have this last year, right? So, Matthew 28. Are you there? So there, I read. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Say, go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Say, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age." Hallelujah. So we said, when Jesus says, go make disciples, when he says, go make disciples, we said it implies how you enroll one in a citadel of learning, right? That's the word Matthew. Hallelujah, the citadel of learning, where he or she is trained to becoming a scholar. He or she is trained to becoming a scholar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, he's trained to become a scholar. And we said, when you use that word disciple, you said the fact, or we said when you use that word disciple, when Jesus says that word disciple, he doesn't, when he says go make disciples of every nation, he's not using it to, like, he never intended a class, right? He never intended a class of people you should meet. He says, go make disciples. Hallelujah. And the fact that those who became disciples in scriptures were not based on their social standard, their social status, or was it a selected people? If we look at the chapter before, which is Matthew 27, verse 57, we saw a rich man by Joseph of Arimathea. He is called a disciple. He's called a disciple. Hallelujah. And before now, in Matthew 4, we saw that Matthew 4, Jesus chose fishermen, right? He chose fishermen, he chose tax collectors. Hallelujah. He chose tax collectors, we saw someone like Nicodemus, who came to him in the night, a teacher of the law. Hallelujah. We find them around his audience. Are you following me? We find them around Jesus' audience. Glory to God. We also saw Mary. We saw Mary, who is a lady, sat on his feet to learn the word. That is Luke 10. Look at Luke 10, from verses 38 to 42. We have the story of Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet, and she listened. To sit at his feet means she actually, that is the word used for discipleship. So she is Jesus' disciple. She listened. We also have Martha too, as a disciple of Jesus. Hallelujah. Mary, Martha, they are disciples of Jesus. Women. And they are women. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they are women. Glory to God. So women were called disciples too of Jesus. In fact, when Jesus resurrected, he sent women to his apostles. So the women were apostles to the apostles. Hallelujah. In Acts 6 verse 7, let's look at Acts 6:7 again today. In Acts 6 verse 7. Acts 6 verse 7. When the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples were multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and many great, I mean great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. And we said yesterday that the priests were actually custodians, they are who we call today the custodians of the traditions, right? The traditional rites, like who we call the balance and those in the traditional settings, becoming disciples. Did you see? So it cut across every sector. Are you hearing me? Paul, when he had an opportunity to speak, he spoke concerning the gospel to Agrippa. He spoke to Agrippa. Agrippa is who we call a governor today. Are you following me? Who will call a governor today? Glory to God. He had that opportunity and then he spoke the gospel to make you know that the gospel is not for a selected people. Are you following me? The gospel is not for a selected people. The gospel is not. Glory to God. And you know, I said at the end of this teaching, we'll have that global vision. We'll see that global vision from scripture for the whole world. Is the whole world. God's reach is for the whole world, not for a selected people. Hallelujah. So therefore, we said in Christianity, we are all called the disciples. Hallelujah. And we said this will be the arrival point of our teaching. The understanding the gospel. Hallelujah. We are all called disciples. Hallelujah. We are all called disciples. So, like I said yesterday, we are at the end, in the beginning. Hallelujah. So, irrespective of our status in the economy, glory to God. So, the gospel is for everyone. We'll yet see that the gospel is for everyone, irrespective of who you are in this society, irrespective of your gender status, irrespective of your anything. Hallelujah. We are to reach the whole world. Hallelujah. The gospel is not for isolated people, not for isolated country. No. As it were in their world. As it were in their world, women were no class. Are you following me? In their world, women were no class. I want you to see something. They were treated as a no class, as a no class. But in the resurrection, Jesus sent women to the apostles. Like as I said yesterday, that we are moving towards what we're teaching December, right? Right? Aha. So, Jesus sees women. I kind of look at that way. Jesus sees girls today somehow. Jesus sees women. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, he created them male and female, he created them man and woman. Remember, I use girls, yeah. Remember, girls. What's nice? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, women were treated as a nobody, as no class in their days, in their world. But, no. In the resurrection, we said Jesus sent the women to his apostles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in sending them to the apostles was deliberate, because in their world, the testimony of women were never believed. The testimony, you don't collect a testimony from a woman in their world. So you don't collect testimony from a woman. But you know, Jesus did that deliberately. Look at, let's see an example. Look at John 4. You know, Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well. Look at that. John 4. When Jesus was done talking to her, that was verse 27. 27 to 29. Okay, 29. Let's look at 29. She ran into the city. After Jesus was done talking to her, she ran into the city. 29. And she said, "Come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this not be the Christ?" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at 39. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all I ever did.' For when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed with them 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word." Did you see that? 42 is where I'm going to. "Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said.'" Did you see? This is how they treat women. You don't see a weakness on the woman. We believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This is that they just expressed it in their words. Are you following me? So that was what was obtainable in their world. We look at also Simon Peter, even his disciples. When Jesus resurrected and the women came with that news, what did they do? They sent Simon to go with them, to go and check if it is. Is that not it? They sent Simon, because in their world, you don't receive witness of a woman. Are you following me? Are you following me? But Jesus did it deliberately. Hallelujah. They deliberately. Luke 24, verse 19. Look at those brethren on their way to Emmaus. Look at what they said in verse 19. Luke 24, verse 19. Look at what they said. They said, and he said to them, what things? And they answered him, the things concerning Jesus, the son of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth, sorry. Who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and was before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we're hoping that it was he was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yet, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. And they came saying they had seen a vision of an angel who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women have said. But them they did not see. Did you see? They had to go to get a concrete evidence. We can't receive it from a woman. Are you following me? That was what was obtainable in their day. But yet Jesus chose to send women. Hallelujah. So Jesus sending the women in that very act is theology. Hallelujah. In that very act is theology. It's theology. It will be God's intervention. God changing their narrative in the world. Did you see that? Did it creep into the assemblage of the disciples? Yes. Hallelujah. But you know, it was for a reason. Hallelujah. God is changing their narrative. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're yet going to see one more in Matthew 19. Oh, we're coming there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, we said that is theology. So it will be God's intervention, right? So in Christianity, we are not divided across any line. There's no division across any line. Hallelujah, in Christianity. There's no division across any line. We are one in Christ. Hallelujah. We're yet going to see this as we progress also. But remember also that when we are teaching on the church, the local church, and me, we said what God couldn't achieve in the world, he has achieved in the church, which is what? Unity, right? Hallelujah. God has achieved unity in the church. He said, by one spirit we are all baptized into one body, unity, whether male or female. That is it. There's neither male nor female. That is, there is no gender inequality. Hallelujah. So there's neither bond nor free. Meaning there's no social status. There's no discrepancies on in terms of social status. There's neither Greek nor Jew. Meaning it has nothing to do with the tribe. Are you following me? Across, we are not divided across any line. Glory to God. So there's no division in the church. Hallelujah. 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 So when we get back to Matthew 28, so you know, you must always learn to see this. And I said, I'm saying that because of, I saw a man giving a poem along a certain line. If it's not feminism, you guys are not seeing that status. If it's not feminism, I didn't get it, but I was just trying to tell feminism, it's how can I, something about Tochukwu, when they hear Tochukwu. Interesting.
Well, it's just a prayer.
Hallelujah.
She's not giving doctrine.
Hallelujah.
She's giving a prayer. Glory to God.
It's a prayer. So, don't forget.
Glory to God. Just a prayer. But it's good.
But, you know, why I said, I feel it's time for us to discuss it because of, you know, there's a, I shared something with us yesterday that I was in class. And, let me share it again. I was in class and the lecturer threw a dividing line in the class. And that dividing line was on the fact that he brought up something and said, the way the world is going, because he said, there are many more women becoming, I mean, in schools than the guys. That most of the guys are not doing bets. Let me add my own, penny bets. Many of the guys are not doing bets, penny bets, now doing gamble, now doing crypto. Now there's now ladies that are now reading. See, very soon, you'll not be surprised, women will be the one providing the money in the house, and the men will be laggards. Very soon, women will be the president. And so, he said, watch the world. The world is changing. It's now the women's world. And the, when he said it, every day, class now divided into two. Like, the ladies, they were a bit more. They were just, yeah, feminism. The woman said, you guys have caged the women. It's time for us to stand up. He also just ran in the class. And the lecturer lost the class. He couldn't even do anything to salvage us again. Hallelujah. And the guy was angry at the back. He said, see, it's because over time, you guys have neglected the male child. You know? And nobody could just get into set. I just raised my hand up. I said, I pray I'm able to solve this. And I just said, okay, here is the answer. I said, the answer is, see, what is happening today has always happened. It has always repeated itself. So the question is, we are throwing it overboard. Hallelujah. I said, years back, I mentioned the errors that years back, it was the male that were dominating the women. And you know, the same way we're having this, whatever, women shouting, they began to raise their voices. They go back to history. They began to raise their voices. So, you don't have women becoming extremists. You know, like, we don't have extreme cases of women. We don't have the women call. We saw it, and I told them, so you can check. You understand? In fact, and as I said, if you get to the Bible, Paul addressing them in the church, addressing women in the church, was because of the rising rate of what? All this feminism, especially in the church at Corinth. Corinth was a confluence area. Do you understand? So it was already moving overboard. And he had to address them. Now, when he said they shouldn't speak, he's not when he talked about they shouldn't speak in the church. You have to look at the wordings well. I said the Greek doesn't give us room to differentiate between what whites and women. Hallelujah. So when he said whites be silent in the church, it is not, I mean, when he said women now, you see, I've translated it well, be silent in the church. It's not talking about women shouldn't preach. No. He's trying to talk about Paul is teaching submission there. To be submissive. And whenever that word is used, wives, when it's referring to wives, he's talking about husband and wife. So he's talking to what is referring to them that they should be submissive. He's teaching submission in the house. Jonathan. So I like, so you see, the Bible is dividing, is bringing it back. And I threw their mind again to what do you think is the cause of our women riots? How do women ever treat them? So it's not today. Do you get? Who keep happening? It will keep happening. But you know, though, some people will be like, you pastor, did you? That is not where I'm going to. I was not trying to. Are you pastor? No. But I'm just showing you. Right? You're showing me. I was very sharp. I said, no. Get to discover that yourself. Glory to God. But it's just the truth. So you never find that dividing line. So people are agitating the emancipation of the girl child. The girl child is not supposed to be in the kitchen. The girl child. So somebody now said, before I stood up to talk to you, somebody said, what is the hierarchy of human, of living things? They say women. So they say, God, but let's not bring God into it. They say women. after women, children, after children, animals, after animals, men. Shit. Like, this is, can you see where they are going to? They are becoming, they are rising, they are making a call. And you know, just like scripture is God's intervention, right? So they are going to intervene. Hallelujah. And said to the Lord that I will do that in the church. Hallelujah. It's beginning to see people. Imagine how, when they heard it, you know, that thing can cause, that can cause a world war. That animals, men. Ah! That's serious, you know. You don't say that way, man. It's like, that's crazy. Amen. Amen. But, you know, so in your talk about women, you must always know what does Bible teach. Are you following this? Well, always know. And then teach it well. Huh? Don't forget.
Don't let me forget the relationship.
I need to teach that. Hallelujah. I need to. Hallelujah. This is it. Glory to God.
I guess.
I'm the only married person here, but I want to teach you. I want to teach you. Some things that I don't marry, like before you get married. I know some people are already doing.
At this point, you know, what is a man is man.
I didn't say anything.
People are already eating several, especially for them with 2 minutes.
I didn't say anything. Imagine that. No, imagine that. Two brethren. I got witness from more than one person. More than one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I was talking about their teaching. So what I said now, I can't show.
I didn't know I just started my teaching back. We started.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he warned about the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he called it living. And we looked at that word living yesterday. It's the word zume in the Greek. Zume. Z-U-M-A-Y. It's a word used for that which corrupts, or what is corrupted. So it calls the teaching of the Pharisees what is corrupted. Corrupted. Hallelujah. So their mode of explanation was a corrupt one. So we started answering a question, right? How did Jesus explain scripture? Right? How did Jesus explain scripture? What is his didache? And we looked at Matthew 7:28, where we just read now. He says, he taught as one having authority. That is 29, sorry. For he taught as one having authority. Now, when he says as one having authority, it implies that one whom scripture speak concerning. Hallelujah. We're going to get to this shortly, but I told us yesterday, I said hold it somewhere, right? Hold it somewhere. We're getting to it. But we looked at some scriptures. Luke 24, right? 25, 27. Luke 24, 44, 45. We looked at John 1, 1 to 14. We looked at Romans 1, 1 to 5. Hebrews 1, 1 to 2. So have that in mind. We're coming back there. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 3 to 5 or from verse 1 to 5. Hallelujah. We looked at that yesterday. And in doing so, and in explaining scripture as concerning himself, he would begin from Moses. Luke 24, 25. Let's go there. Luke 24, 25. He will begin from Moses. Luke 24, 25. It says, O fools, and slower to believe in all the prophets have spoken. It says, author the Christ, somebody is going to enter into his glory. It says, beginning at Moses. Do you see that? And all the prophets, he expanded to them in all the scriptures that things concerning himself. So therefore, Jesus will begin his teaching from the Genesis, from Moses. So what this shows you is that Moses will now become the background. Become the background of the writings of scriptures. Are you following me? Moses When I say Moses, I mean Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Moses becomes the background. Amen. Are you following me? Moses becomes the background of what writings in scriptures. So Jesus did that chair will imply to begin from Moses. Do you see that? In verse 44, he said, these are the words which I spoke to you. Please open them. These are the words I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses. That is his beginning point. The law of Moses. Law of Moses. In Matthew 19. Matthew 19. Look at verse 4. It says, they came to meet him. And they asked him, should a man divorce his wife for any cause? Did I say anything along this side yesterday? What did I say? Oh, yeah. Okay, so yesterday I told us from this way that they came to explain from Deuteronomy, right? They came with Deuteronomy. Should a man put his wife for any cause? They had in, at the back of their mind the bill of divorcement. You understand? Jesus now said, no. In the beginning it was not so. We're getting there. That is my emphasis to him. But let me just strike where we came from yesterday. When the beginning it was not so. So Jesus reads Genesis 1 into Genesis 2, right? And I said, whenever scriptures are referenced like that, or are referenced like that, he didn't just read a verse. Jesus didn't read a verse for them. He read everything from Genesis 1 to Genesis 2. Hallelujah. Because if you read Jesus' response, that verse 5 and 6, if you look at it, it says, if you read everything from Genesis 1 to Genesis 2, you understand what he was talking about, and that's what he did. But if you read it today, you think Jesus is addressing different things. He's addressing real time, marital, or whatever. Do you understand? But you have to go back and read. Say, made them male and female. Say, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cling to his wife. Do you get it? So you have to read, it looks as if it doesn't flow, but remember I said they will write in shorthand. So what you have is the subject matter, do you understand, of what he spoke about, but you have to read everything that is contextual, right? And we went to Matthew 22 and we looked at Mark 12. We saw when they asked Jesus, what is that great commandment of the law? Matthew will say, and Jesus replied, love your neighbor. I mean, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That is Matthew 22:36. But when you look at Mark, rendering of the same thing, Jesus started from Deuteronomy 6:4. Matthew just speaks 6:5. Do you understand? But then from 6:4, he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. He said, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That means to say, if you don't understand what is happening, you might think they are contradictory, but it's not contradictory. What the writers have written for you is a shorthand for you to read everything. They are telling you that it's like a reference. So for you to get to Deuteronomy 6, to read Deuteronomy 6, remember when they wrote, they didn't write in chapters and verses. So you have to start on Deuteronomy 1. Are you following me? Before you get to 5, before you get to 6, and get there. So you will have seen everything in context, right? Right? I will now say, what is now the background of Deuteronomy? You have to go to Genesis. Are you following me? If I know, the background of Deuteronomy is Exodus. Because Deuteronomy means Deuteronomos. That is the Greek word, Deuteronomy, Deuteronomos. It's something we get to see as we get to talk about the books. We describe that what we have as the Genesis as not the Leviticus number, but actually it's not for today. Leave that out. Let's leave that out for today. But when we begin to discuss the books in some years to come, those are things that were expensive. So when you use the word Deuteronomy, it means Deuteronomy, which is second law. So what is the reason for the second law? It's because the first law was rejected in Exodus. Are you following me? So the background will not be the Exodus, unbelief. Do you understand? So what will not be the background for the Exodus? The Genesis. Are you following me? So you don't see that. You don't have to read everything together. So when you get there, you now know, wow, this is the reason for it. Hallelujah. And remember when we look at Matthew 22:36 in the vine and the branches, walking in salvation, we saw that if you now get to Matthew 20, where you have the commandment, what we call the Ten Commandments, you can have it as a divider. You can see where it talks about love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is the control the first, you love your neighbor as yourself. You can have that dichotomy there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's just all there. So just listen to messages. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So now we are in Matthew 19. Let's have something else. Let's look at it again. Matthew 19. So Jesus' response to them when they asked him, should a man put away his wife for any cause? They were quoting Deuteronomy, right? But Jesus took them back to Genesis and he says, have you not read? He says, have you not read? He who made them from the beginning. He takes them back to Genesis. I said, have you not read? That is the word anagenosko in the Greek. Anagenosko. From a compound word of ana. Ana and nosko. Ana is the word used for an intensive repetition, like how you repeat a word, to do it again, to look at it again, to check it all over again, to look at it again. Do you understand me? I'm already giving you ana genosko. Ana means to do something repeated, to repeat it, to do it over, come back, reverse, see it. Hallelujah. So ana genosko, when you put them together, it will mean to read it again. So when you have a word used for repetition, it means be careful, be attentive, pay attention to details, reread it. That's what it means. Reread it. Say, have you not read well? Did you see that? He that made them in the beginning. Meaning, if you read well, you will start from the beginning. Are you following what Jesus is telling them? You will go back to the beginning. You go back to the beginning. So, anagenosko will imply to read from the beginning again. Read it again from the beginning. By tomorrow, we'll get to see, by Saturday, we'll get to see other usages of the word anagenosko. But he said, you will read it again from the beginning. Hallelujah. To start from Genesis. Look at it from Genesis. I will use an illustration that Pastor Shelby uses always for us. He will say, how many of you, when you want to write your degree exam, go and start reading your degree exam from the beginning? You know, unserious Nigerian students, is without an exam, they'll be asking for area of concentration, AOC. I hope you know. Please, what's the area of concentration? But a serious student will start reading from chapter 1. A student who is planning to fail will tell you, sister, that read chapter 1, I'll read chapter 4. Read chapter 3, read chapter 2, read chapter 5. Hallelujah. I'm wiser than those things. I've had a friend that told me, see, read chapter 4 to chapter 8. Don't worry, I'll read chapter 1. No problem. I read everything. Read everything. As God will have, the Lord is as God will have it. Would I enter exam hall? I was the first one that they took to the front. I think I know. So, imagine I funny enough, the question that I came up on the chapter that I didn't know it. I will not have my first carryover. Ticket! Are you following me? So, you know, you now have to read well. You know that? I'm a person in the exam hall. I like to read everything. So that in the exam hall, I confidently go and sit in front. I confidently, I remember in school. During classroom, I sit at the back. Exam, first seat. Because I don't want to go, somebody will come. I'm not telling me. Well, I was too proud. Hallelujah. I just said, nobody is going to tell me, copy me. I'm serious. So I just want to sit in front. I'll make sure I read to the best of my knowledge. Hallelujah. And the day now hooked me. Was on the day I wrote an ICANN exam today, like today. I finished in the evening. I was having international accounts. In the next day, I picked up after my ICANN exam, picked up my international accounting textbook. And all I was saying is, you're still in. I was saying, I was blank. I told her, okay, let me see this book. I woke up in the night and read. I slept and woke up in the morning of the exam. No, no, sir. I was dreaming that exam. I went to exam hall. Exam was finished. So I woke up, morning of the exam. I didn't get anything. Shut up. I went. And pride now made me go and sit in front. You can't answer that in back. Right. I didn't sit in front. That's all this international account. At least even if they're dollared. The course, the interpretation, the course you are doing, I think you should know the definition. I didn't even know pin. I don't define accounting and put international. I'm serious. I don't define accounting and I put international. So I just took international anywhere. Just they were asking me, I was just answering. They gave us international cash book to prepare. I prepared normal cash book. Because I just do it. You know the funny thing? So my final year exam. How about that for gambling? I was done. I was obsessed with it. I was done. I was like, oh Lord, thank you.
What was your grade?
Glory to God. Well, I never sorted any lecture, but when the results showed up, first, he came. I've told you guys this story, so you guys looking at it. When the results came out, when the results came out, it came out as a C. But I got angry because it was final year. I needed an A or a B in that course. So I went back to meet the lecturer. It's good to be bold. I mean, literally, I said, man, I know what I did in this course. I said, if anybody can have a C, it shouldn't be me. I took my time. And I wrote this course. This is not my result. Can you remark my skills? With that boldness, I left. And when I came out, I was like, oh God. This one goes to remark this C will just there. But another result came out. It was only my grade inside I was changed. My grade was number. Oh no, when I answered, I was not like, I just told this woman I should get an A.
I need
a B.
That's
B.
Yeah.
So,
it's commercial class.
That's right. I don't blame you. I'm blaming you. You who read Marine, you never saw me. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Okay. Are we together?
Yes,
sir. Okay. But you know, I went there prepared. So like they say, you write the exam, I will rewrite and get it. I went prepared for that exam. I just want to go proof to us, just get back. Yeah, I want to write it again. After? No. We don't leave with questions.
I read.
Hallelujah. How did I even get into my story? How did I get to my story?
Anaginosuke,
so read well. Hallelujah. Read well. Glory to God. So, this is why Jesus will read Genesis 1 to 2 to show them that at the beginning it wasn't so. Hallelujah. So, Jesus, in answering their question, will answer them from what God does in redemption. That the man and the woman is what is found in God's marriage. Did you see that? Remember, they have this here. Wrong motive about marriage. Do you understand me? Where a man can just go and say, I'm no longer marrying. Do you understand? The woman will just be treated anyhow. In fact, also have another situation where women were passed from guys, from brothers to brothers. They pass you. How about that for a basketball? They pass you around. Hallelujah. Treated like slaves. But you know, Jesus said, no, it's not like that. They are in Christ. Hallelujah. And he says, in Christ, and it now shows us a very vital part of the gospel, which we will yet see, is the fact that, see, it's man that puts away. Hallelujah. It shows that it's man that puts away. That is, it's man that, when you use the word puts away, is unbelief. So it's man that puts away, that rejects. Hallelujah. But in God's marriage, you know, so what God has joined together, let no nothing. When he says let no man, it means let nothing put asunder. And that is what Paul will now write in Romans 8, from what can separate us from the love of God. Do you understand? Hallelujah. So you see everything, you have to read everything together, and we're getting there. We're getting there, we're making progress. Hallelujah. In our teaching of understanding the gospel. Okay. So Jesus tried for them to see. Therefore, Jesus' beginning from Moses is the systematic way of explaining scripture. Jesus' beginning from Moses is the systematic way of what? Explaining scripture or reading scripture. It is the context of all that is written and said by the prophets down to the epistles. Moses is the context of all that is written and said by the prophets down to the epistles. Therefore, we can say that the background of the prophet is the book of Moses. We've just said it, right? We said it earlier, but let me say it well. It's the book of Moses, the five books. The background of Exodus to Deuteronomy is Genesis. Or we put it this way, the background of Exodus is Genesis. The background of Deuteronomy is Exodus and Genesis. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Same with the epistles. The background of Leviticus is what? Exodus. Because they rejected God's plan. Right? And what is God's plan? I want that there should be a kingdom of priests. Are you following me? A kingdom of priests. So because they rejected it, there is none the Levites. Are you following me? There is none the Levites. So the reason for Leviticus is what? The Exodus. The reason for Numbers is what? What is Numbers? Provocation. Right? The rejection, the act of rejecting. Right? That is Numbers. Now, the reason for Numbers is what? Exodus. And the reason for Exodus is what? Genesis. The reason for Genesis is what? Exodus. Because Genesis was written to them in the Exodus. Are you following me? So, let's move one step further. Did you see that in what you listen to? How many of us listen to that message? What happens to you? This is the similarity in what we are teaching. Are you seeing? Okay. Let's continue. So, same with the epistles. Same with the epistles. The epistles will be, the background of the epistles will be the four gospels and the book of Acts. The background. The background of the four gospels, which is the synoptic, will be what? The 39 books, Genesis to Malachi. Is that it? Okay. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in Luke 24, from verse 44 into 45, verse 45, when he says, and he opened ye the understanding that they might comprehend soon a man. So what Luke says is that when Jesus was done with the explanation of scriptures from that is the didache, right? Right? And at Geno school, right? Reading well. What Luke is saying is that when Jesus was done, that they could now comprehend. That is, they can now put the event of the words of the prophets with what he has taught them concerning himself to see them all together. That is sunemai. Comprehend. To bring facts and events together. To reason together. Now they cannot reason those facts together with what he has said to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope you're following me. I hope you're following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Therefore, The apostles will follow Jesus' didache of explaining scriptures from Moses to. You will see that they will follow the same explanation. In Acts 3, look at Acts 3, verse 22. After that miracle, they came to Peter. Peter is explaining. And Peter in explaining will explain, he will go straight also to what? He will explain from Moses. Acts 22. He said, for Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from the brethren. Him you shall hear in all things whatsoever he says to you. So Peter will go back to Moses to teach about Christ. Are you following me? Peter will go back to Moses to teach about Christ. Moses. In Acts 28, verse 23. So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both from the law of what was the law of Moses? Genesis. Did you see that? Both from the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning to evening. From the law of Moses. So law of Moses is not one of these days before we look at Genesis, we'll treat law of Moses. Hallelujah. Very important. It's vital to us. Hallelujah. So if we are treating Genesis, let's say in the next 8 years, we'll treat law of Moses like the next 6 years. 2 years. Use 2 years to teach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that you don't start with that. We're doing law of Moses next week. Hallelujah. I'm just preparing your mind ahead of time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I want to show you something. There's something that okay. Let's continue. Okay. Hallelujah. So when we just left Acts 28 and 23, right? Okay. So you see that they were writing, or they would teach from what? The Genesis. Hallelujah. We would have time to look at others very soon. But even when the writers of the synoptics too were to write about the event of the incarnation. The writers of the Synoptic is the Genesis, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? What you call four Gospels. Now, when they were to write about the event of the incarnation, they didn't write it as a story. It was not a story. Do you understand? They were not writing Jesus' story, they were not writing it as a story like Chinua Achebe's story. They were not writing it like Agbo live in the town of Lagun, which is not far from Ibadan. He went to primary school, he was in primary school. Everyone liked Agbo because he was friendly and good. His father is rich, and Agbo was a lucky boy because his father was rich. His father gave him the watch, and Agbo was very proud of it. Hallelujah. No stories like that. Do you know Agbo? Agbo is still in primary school. I don't know if he has graduated. Hallelujah. So it's not like a story. Yes. So Jesus is now, when they will write, they will not write it like a story, tales by moonlight. No. What they wrote, remember, there were other people that told Jesus' story like a story, like a tale. Because if you read the book of Mark, when he warned them that they should tell no one, the Bible says the more he said that, he said that the multitude went ahead and told people, this guy is a healer. Hey, do you get this guy? You know, people said the story, but there's a way. If you listen to our teaching on the revelation of God, we said that, right? We said there's a way Jesus wanted the story to be told, which is to be told from the resurrection. Hallelujah. And it's for a reason. So So they will not write it as a story. Recall, okay, I have it here, that wanted it to be told from the resurrection. So, and as they documented the event of the incarnation, they will write it as a doctrine. Right? For them, they will follow the doctrine of scriptures. Hallelujah. They will write the synoptic as an hymnotics. They will follow the didache of Jesus' explanation. Hallelujah. I put it like this in my notes. They will follow the didache of Jesus in explaining Jesus' earthly work from Genesis. So do you see them? They are deliberately writing about Jesus or his works. They are writing about the incarnation and the event of the incarnation from the 39 books. You'll see that soon. Now look at Matthew. Before we get to look at Matthew 1, therefore, we can say the four Gospels, which is the synoptic, are eyewitness accounts written as doctrine. Are you following me? They are eyewitness accounts, but they are written as doctrine for you to see. Glory to God. Glory to God. They will have to write the eyewitness explaining the scripture as scriptures fulfilled. They write the eyewitness explaining the scriptures as scriptures fulfilled. Remember, the synoptic is an explanation, right? Right? We saw that. We saw that in Revelation of God. It's an explanation. So they would have to write it as an explanation of scriptures. Right? Hallelujah. Like, for example, look at Matthew. Matthew will employ the use of the word that it will be fulfilled. You have it many times used by Matthew. Matthew writes it deliberately. Look at Matthew chapter 1. He goes straight to the virgin birth. He goes straight to the virgin birth in Matthew 1. And look at what he says in verses 21. He says, and he arose and took a... Matthew 1, 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. So, all this was done that he might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin will be with a child and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Did you see that? Did you see that? You shall call his name Emmanuel, that is God with us. Glory to God. Did you see how he writes? Therefore, he wrote for you to see that the virgin birth is scripture fulfilled. And he's reading from Isaiah 7 verse 14. For you to see that is what? Scripture fulfilled. The virgin birth. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he writes that down for you to see. That's scripture fulfilled. But many who didn't know it was scripture fulfilled, if they are telling their story, what will they say in John 8, when Jesus said, you say Abraham is your father, what did they tell him? They said, we are not born out of fornication. Meaning, the story they had about Jesus was that Jesus was born out of fornication because they couldn't detect who was his father. Are you following me? Eh? But never knowing that it is what scripture fulfilled. Do you see how he's writing, how Matthew is writing it deliberate for you to see that this is scripture fulfilled? Are you following that? Hallelujah. In chapter 2, verse 15, he writes again. And he says, and was there unto the death of Aaron that it might be fulfilled, which is why he was in Egypt. And he departed for Egypt, that is verse 14, which is spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt he called my son. Did you see that? Out of Egypt. Listen. The Bible fulfilled, the prophet really says, out of Egypt I called my son. So meaning, this is something we're yet going to see as we progress, not in this series, but as I teach you. Now, what would you see? You see that Jesus moving to Egypt location was scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. So you have to go to Egypt so that scripture will be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son. Are you following me? And this is Hosea 11, verse 1. Hosea 11, 1. And also, what does Jesus, I mean, what is his name? Matthew writes for you to see two scriptures fulfilled. Numbers 24, 8. Hallelujah. So Jesus will have to go to Jerusalem, so that scripture, I mean to Egypt, to show that scripture, to fulfill that scripture, out of what? Egypt I called my son. Hallelujah. But when it was written, well, okay, I don't get to that now. So that means, okay, let's not go there today. I'm not going there today. Glory to God. Verse 17. Then it was fulfilled by the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, a voice was heard in Ramah. What was fulfilled? Verse 16. And Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he went forth and put to death the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Do you see? So that means the wise men didn't come immediately Jesus was born. They came when Jesus was 2. I have a lady. They came when Jesus was how old? 2. So that he might be fulfilled, meaning that act of Herod was a fulfillment of scripture. Do you see? Hallelujah. So he says that I will be fulfilled. So he was reading Jeremiah 31:15. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, a great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, rushing to be comforted because they are no more. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Is scripture fulfilled? They write that deliberately. Look at verse 23. When Jesus came back, he went straight, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. That is Judges 13, verse 5. This was concerning Samson. But you know, Jesus had to go to Nazareth so that it will be fulfilled that he is a Nazarene. Are you following? Are you following me? Eh? Scripture fulfilled. So he's writing up for you to see. Eh? That this is a fulfillment of scriptures. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hope you are following me. Glory to God. You go down to chapter 8, verse 17. Matthew 8, 17. I said Matthew used that word, the whole lot. He healed the sick, cast out, many were demon possessed, verse 16, and he cast out the spirit with the word and healed all who were sick, that he might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Did you see that? Isaiah 53, verse 4. Glory to God. So you find, so they deliberately write the incarnation as scripture being fulfilled. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, can we put it like this? Why the conclusion of scripture is on Christ, which we are coming to see shortly? Let's take it one step further from our teaching on the revelation of God. You see the way we're going back to it. Now, we said something that we said the incarnation of Christ is a fulfillment of scripture, right? Right? That is, God becoming a man is scripture fulfilled. Right? Now, in that earthly walk, there are a whole lot of things that, or there are a whole lot of events, or a whole lot of words spoken of in the Old Testament book that is fulfilled in that incarnation. For example, Judas is scripture fulfilled. Hope you know that. Being the son of perdition is scripture fulfilled. Hope you know that. I even know it is scripture fulfilled. In fact, when he was to be replaced, what did Peter do? Peter had to read, right? From where? From the Psalm. Is scripture fulfilled? Hallelujah. I believe it is scripture fulfilled. So in the earthly work, meaning in the 33 years of Jesus' existence on the earth, that incarnation will have scripture being fulfilled. Now, those scriptures being fulfilled might directly or indirectly, as we've seen, not be done by him, but because of that incarnation, scriptures were fulfilled. I believe it. That is how I feel I can put it in this class for today. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Did we just see that of Rama, the crying in Rama? Did we see that of, let me look at the one that Jesus was not directly involved. Quickly. A second, just a second. Okay. Okay, that is the one of Rama, the killing. Jesus was not directly there, but it's concerning him. Glory to God. But that act was actually his scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And many others, like Judas, his scripture fulfilled. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, when they wrote that, you will see that his earthly work and the things he did and things that happened around him are scripture fulfilled. So when they wrote for you, they write for you to see that their account of the event of the incarnation was from the Genesis. So they write for you to see that what they are explaining is from the Genesis. How? We're going to see something now. Let's look at first of all. Let's see John. John, in John 1, when John is to write, he says, in the beginning, that is his opening note, he makes you see that what I'm about to write is from the Genesis. This in the beginning was the Word was with God, and God is the Word. The Word points to God, Logon flows to us, the Word is God. Hallelujah. So, John using the word beginning lets you see that that he's writing from what? The Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And letting you see that he now tells you the Word became flesh in the person of Jesus. Telling you that Jesus is God from the beginning. Are you following me? From the beginning. That is the Word in the beginning. So it makes you see that what I'm writing for you to see, let me put it like this, what I'm writing for you to see is I am doing a defense that Jesus is God. I believe Jesus is God. And in arriving at that, it says in him is life. So part of what you'll find in his hymnotical, you'll find life. The life is the light of men. So when we get to look at John in the years to come, we'll get to see all those truths too. Hallelujah. 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 So that is what you will find. That is what he says. Glory to God. Life from the dead. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Mark in Mark 1 2 writes the same way. It uses the word beginning also. Mark 1. He said the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Do you see that? He writes for you to see. He is the Arche, referencing the Genesis. So he calls the Genesis of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what he writes for you to see. The Genesis is the Genesis of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Genesis is the Genesis of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what Mark writes. Did you see that? So they were deliberately writing Jesus as God. Hallelujah. Remember I told us that part of our role as believers is to defend the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Part of our role is to defend the gospel. Are you hearing me? Glory to God. You defend the gospel. Why would you defend the gospel? I want to say this. Are you defending God? Did God do anything wrong? No. But you know, over time, look at what we've said concerning language. We're getting to death today. Look at what we said concerning language. You know, look at what we've looked at concerning language and what we've said. Where if you read it from our words today, it looks as if it was God that killed the firstborn sons in Egypt. To look as if God is a destroyer. Do you understand me? Look as if God is one that brings enmity. But you know, in those days, if we take the seat of that first audience, the writers didn't have to defend God, but because of the fact that language has changed, so it's not look as if it's a defense. Actually, it is. Hallelujah. It is. But you are not like you are defending God for what he has done. You know, if you are not looking at defense in our day today, look as if you are defending him because he has done something wrong. We don't want to defend him that he's good. No. This is who he is. Are you following me? Eh? This is who God is. He is the God of love. He is the Father. Are you following me? This is who he is. He doesn't kill. But because of the language of that day, you cannot read it as though if God had killed, but he's not. Like someone who say, God in the Old Testament repented in the New Testament. Are you fine? Do you understand? But you can hear things like that. God repented in the New Testament. To start now, God now found grace. God now found grace. No. But even the grace that you talk about is from Genesis. Are you following me? So it looks as if we are taking a route on God's defense. But it's actually, well, it's God's defense if we look at it from this our word, this our language, is a defense for God. Hallelujah. I believe it. But actually, when they wrote, they were not writing to defend God in Genesis. No, this is everybody, even the audience knew that this is who God is. I believe it. Eh? Are you getting that? So, out of our role today in our world, is to defend the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We defend the gospel. Hallelujah. So, in all this, where am I? Matthew 1. Look at Matthew 1. It says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Did you see this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he said the book of the genealogy, that word genealogy is the way you have the word, is the word in the Greek, Genesis. We're in the book of the Genesis of Jesus Christ. That is Genesis 1:1. Hallelujah. In the book of the Genesis. Do you see that? So that word genealogy is the word Genesis in the Greek. To show you that genealogy itself is theology. I call it is God's study. This is God's study. If you look at Luke chapter 3, Luke writes about the genealogy again. Hallelujah. So don't start taking genealogy and say, I know someone who took genealogy and said, between this year and this year, they are finding out the rapture. Oh well, that there is supposed to be how many generations and this and this and this in terms of Genesis. Have you heard that teaching from? I know that teaching very well. So you didn't hear it from me. So don't go there. I didn't venture into it. Do you hear from me? Not me. No. Don't look at me. I ran away from it. Because me by myself with myself, I disproved it. There was a time I disproved it or something. I said, let's recount. Leave Matthew, but let's go to Luke. Let's recount. This is from Babel. You understand? So they always get to that. Let's go to recount. Amen. It's just simple. So I ran away from that. So from John 1. Can I get to John 1 now? Okay, so from John 1, what it shows us that it is through systematic study, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, Genesis, right? The Word was with God and God was the Word. It's the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him was anything made that is made. So when it says, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and God is the Word. Eh? And actually the Word we found was standing by 7 in the mouth of the prophet, they bore witness. So what John is writing for you is for you to see that it's through systematic study from Genesis that God is known. Do you get me? It is through systematic study from Genesis that God is known and understood. And when you now get, he now writes for you to now see that when you now get to verses 18 and say, no one has seen God at any time, save but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. Jesus, he had declared it, he had explained it, to show you that God is explaining the Son. If you get to chapter 14, God is revealed in Christ. Are you following me? So in other words, for you to see that, so that you can conclude and say, God, since God is revealed in Christ, that means Christ can only be known from systematic study of scriptures. Did you get that? Christ can only be known from a systematic study of scripture, Genesis to Revelation to Malachi. This is why I'm about to skip something in my notes and get to somewhere now. Okay, wait that. Okay. So just give me a note. Study of scripture, B. Let me not skip it. So when I get back to Luke 24, remember I said Christ can only be known from a systematic study of scripture. Well, I'm going to, I'll still get there, but I'm trying to see if I can push it. Okay, it's there, if I push it that way. This is why when you now read Matthew 16, when Jesus now asked them, who do men say, who do you say that I am? What did Peter reply? Peter's response was, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus' response to Peter was, blessed are thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, say, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. What is this? When he said, my Father who is in heaven, I showed up this during CRC. And I told him, when he said, my Father who is in heaven has revealed to you, that is an explanation from Scripture. Hallelujah. When it doesn't mean that God now appeared to Peter and said, Peter, Jesus my God. No. Hallelujah. May my Father who is in heaven revealed it to you. That is, it was made known to him by a systematic study of scripture. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to give us an example. I'll give us another one shortly. For example, in John 1:45, look at John 1:45 quickly. They didn't have the four gospels, the book of Acts, and the epistles. But look at what Nathanael said. John 1:45. Look at what he said. He says, okay, verse 42. And they brought him to Jesus. No. 41. That is, and he found his brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. You guys, who found the Messiah? Verse 45, and Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. You see, we found him who they wrote of. They didn't have the four gospels, Acts, and epistles to see that. That means they knew it by what? A systematic study. And what they had with them was what they have as scripture was what? Genesis to Malachi. Remember, look at what they said. They said, this is him whom Moses and the prophets spoke of. Did you see that? So that means they knew him by reading it together. Hallelujah. So it's through a systematic study that what Christ is known. I follow you. Systematic study of scripture. We're coming somewhere now. If you get back to Matthew 24, from verse 25, all fools slow about to believe in all the prophets that are spoken. Emphasis on 28 or 27. It says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Watch that. The things he expounded unto them for with all the scripture, the things concerning himself. You get to verses 44 to 45. It says, These are the words which I spoke to you while I was here with you, that all things must will be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophet, and in the Psalms concerning me. Watch the emphasis. It says he taught them in 27 the things concerning himself. In 44, he says the things concerning me. Now, if you bring those two words together, the things concerning himself and the things concerning me, will imply the eventual conclusion when scriptures are read systematically and together, is that it will conclude on the Christ. Did you see that? When scriptures are read systematically and together, systematically will mean how we read it from Genesis. Together means I'll read it together from Genesis into Malachi. The eventual conclusion will be on Christ. Hallelujah. Will be on Christ. And when we say Christ, we are talking about, for the sake of this class, we are talking about the four gospels, the synoptic explained in the epistles. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Remember, we said our emphasis for this year, it has been since last 2 years, this year and for a while, review on what? Reading the Old Testament book with the eye of the four gospels and the epistles, right? Right? Don't know what I said? I have not changed it. We are still there. Glory to God. So we'll read the Old Testament book with the what? With the four gospels and I'm going to stop. With the synoptic, the book of Acts, and the epistles. Glory to God. Are you following me? So, while Luke 24, 25 to 27 will be question specific, we'll get to see that shortly. 44 into 45 will be a wider study. We'll get to see that. Hallelujah. So, John will put it like this. In John 1, 1 to 7, he said, the Logos, he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, which is, that word, Word is the word Logos. It is, verse 7 down says, let's look at verse 7. He says, there is a man who came to be a witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He's not that light, but was sent to be a witness of the light. So he brings in John, and brings John in as an archetype, or as a prefigure for every other prophet. Hallelujah. So John will take the stead of every other prophet, because he's a prophet, and he said they will be a witness of the light. So what that means is the fact, what John is saying is that the Logos, whom the prophet spoke of in verse 14, you know, remember, we'll find that they will be a witness of it. And that word witness that I showed you yesterday is the word that means to testify by speaking. Hallelujah. So they will be a witness by speaking. Therefore, they will be a witness of this truth, of the Logos, by speaking, that is, to form their message. Now, he now writes in verse 14 and says, and that Logos became what? Flesh and dwelt among us. Remember, the Logos pre-existed as God, right? The Logos is God. So God's story was what was found in the mouth of the prophets, right? And in verse 14, the Word, which is God, found in the mouth of the prophets, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Hallelujah. Are you following that thing? So that means that the eventual conclusion of all that was spoken will be what? If you read all together, will conclude on Christ. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So John 5:39 will now put. He now said, you search the scriptures. I hope you are following me. Am I a bit too fast? Am I fast? Tell me if I'm fast. I'm fast. Okay, don't worry, I'll be slow. Come on. Okay, so John 5:39, now say you search the scriptures. It says, and then you think you have eternal life. It says, but these are they which testify of me. You see that? That word testify is the same word. It means to speak concerning someone or something. That word testify. Hallelujah. To witness. Say, these are they which testify concerning me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Take a look at verses 40, and this is where they had their issue. It says, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. You see that? That you may have life. So meaning their conclusion was not on him. You see that? Their conclusion of scripture was not on him. You say, rather, I say scripture testify of me to show Very important. So that means the eventual conclusion of scripture is on who? Is on Christ. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Let's move to verse 45. John 5. Verse in John 5. Verse 45. It says,
as we are teaching on understanding the gospel, right, the power of God, I like to keep that to be investigating the power of God. So we are getting there.
Hallelujah.
We should be done with all this background study by Saturday.
Amen. So we need to get into real details from
get into details to eventually conclude the dream.
Hallelujah. Amen. So, look at verse 45. It says, nothing that I will accuse before the Father, there's no one who accuses you. He says, even Moses in whom you trust. 46. Say, for if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. Mark that word, he wrote about me. If you do not believe his writings, how would you believe my word? This is two words. He wrote about me. That is the word grapho. He wrote about me. How would you believe me if you don't believe his writings? Grammar. We'll come into those two. But let's look at that word grapho. Grapho. That word grapho is the word that implies writings in general. Where you have the same word graphe, grapho. The same is the word writings in general. So when it says Moses wrote of me, it implies all of Moses' writings, when read together, points to Christ. Did you see that? All of Moses' writings, when read together, point to Christ. You know, it's only Moses that Jesus will reference and say he wrote of me. Do you get it? So meaning, if I read Moses' writings together alone, it points to Christ. Amen. 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 He points to Christ. No wonder the Samaritan woman. I heard this, that was recently this year, and it actually helped me cement my bridges. Hallelujah. The Samaritan woman, I heard this from Pastor Shevin. He said the Samaritan woman in Samaria, what they had, you know, Samaria had were actually cut off from Israel after a while. So what they had was Genesis to Deuteronomy. Jonathan, Genesis to Deuteronomy, they don't have other books. Because they were already separated, they were at a point separated from Israel. Do you understand? So what they had was Genesis to Deuteronomy. And if you watch her conversation with Jesus was only centered from Genesis to Deuteronomy. That is, fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you understand? So that was where they spoke on, and you know. Now, yet, just reading Moses' five books alone, she knew that Moses wrote concerning the Messiah. Do you get it? What was that question? He said, are you the Christ? Do you get that? Are you the Christ? You told me all my story. Say, are you the Christ? That means, how did she know? I thought she you were supposed to read down to Malachi. But she didn't have up to Malachi, yet she knew that Moses wrote concerning Christ. That's what Jesus is saying. He said, when you read Moses' letters together, you will see that Moses is writing concerning me. Are you following that? Right? So you have to read together to see Moses was writing concerning someone. In fact, what we read just now in Acts chapter 3, verse 22, he says, well, this is Moses in Deuteronomy saying, Lord will raise for you a prophet like me. And Peter writes to say that prophet is talking about is not Joshua. Did you see that? It's not Joshua, but the Joshua. Who is the Joshua? Jesus. Are you following that? Eh? Glory to God. Very important to see that. Glory to God. So what this shows is that Jesus is the center theme of what the prophet wrote. Of when you read them together. My emphasis is on when you read them
get that.
Surely, you are hearing me back. Yeah?
When you read them together.
So let's go back to Luke 24:35. As it were, it looks as if our same text is Luke 24, but let's go back to that. It says, so, when it says, when you look at that Luke 24:20, that's in 7, when it says, the things concerning himself. Without what, the things concerning himself. Yahweh 27. He explained unto them the things concerning himself. Now, when he uses the word, the things concerning himself, he has shown you. Remember I told us earlier that Luke 24:25-27 is question specific, right? It's specific. And why is it specific? What was the conversation about? The conversation was about the event of the 3 days, Jesus' death, right? Right? So that means what Jesus went to, what Jesus taught them on their way to Emmaus was concerning his death. So that they will see that event. Did you get it? They will see the event from the scriptures. Hallelujah. So, concerning him will be what? The suffering and entering into glory. Which will be a shorthand, as we said, for the incarnation and the resurrection. And we said the resurrection is the beginning of what looks like an end. Right? Right? The beginning of a climax, or what looks like a climax. The beginning of what looks like an end. So the resurrection is not the end, but what? A beginning. A new beginning. Do you get that? A new beginning. Newness of life. Are you following me? That is what John would symbolize with the baptism, the water baptism. Newness of life. This that there is a work, the newness of life. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is what Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17 would say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That is the resurrection. Are you following me? So remember, if you listen to our series 2A, which I asked you to listen to, we said we were looking at Acts of Apostles. We looked at Acts of Apostles chapter 3, and we said entering into the glory will be the indwelling, right? And then when I said that will be the way Peter will now explain, will now be Peter's identification. Was that what we said? Let you know that Peter had to go and listen to it. Hallelujah. Was that what we said? It will be identification. So the entering into glory will be the indwelling. Hallelujah. Never forget that, because it will become material very soon. So we say that will be a shorthand for the incarnation and resurrection, which is the beginning of what looks like an end. Interesting. Then John 1. Back to John 1.
So that is today we are just rotating around John 1 and Luke.
That is the plan.
Where that saw this one is doing like a people making me look at your skin kind of stuff.
Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm crashing 2 sections into one, so permit me. Into it. So we'll be six for a while. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So when you read John 1, John makes you see that when it says the word is God, makes you see that it's God's story. Hallelujah. It's God's story he's about to write, or he's writing about. And writing about God's story, we see when we go into Genesis, when he says in the beginning, we rush to Genesis. He says the beginning was the word of God, and God is the word. We are writing God's story. But when I get to Genesis, I will see what man's activity. Right? 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 So it will be God's story told among the activities of men. So what this implies is that when the prophets wrote, remember we are still looking at Jesus' didactic from the beginning, we are still there. Still around that concept of beginning. When the prophets wrote, they wrote to their audience. Remember we said you are not their immediate audience, but their eventual audience. Right? Right? You are not the immediate, but an eventual audience. So you are not their immediate audience. So they will write to their audience. Concerning, I want you to listen attentively here. Concerning God's salvation plan. And using it to answer the issue, the question of their day.
In doing so, they write God's story amongst around men's activity, using men's language and man's science.
Did you see that?
They will write it, they will use man's language, man's science to talk about man's activity, to talk about God's story, to tell God's story.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. So let's look at Luke 24, 25, 27 again. That means on their way to Emmaus, Jesus began to teach them concerning his death, the event of the 3 days, right? Because that was the subject of discourse, right? Right? Okay. From Genesis to Malachi, right? They want to teach them from Genesis to Malachi. Now, we're getting somewhere shortly. And I'm trying to organize my notes, so we'll get there now. Let's see.
Okay. Let's do this. I guess I'm on track.
Hallelujah.
So, Luke 24, right? So, he will be teaching them from Genesis to Malachi, and he will be teaching the events of the 3 days. In verse 44 to 45, I'm doing like a recap of what I said earlier. Verse 44 to 45, we say the wider study. Yeah, he taught them the scriptures, and the arrival point was concerning himself, right? Right? And that arrival point, will he include what he has taught them to in 25 to 27? Yes. Remember, I call it to include in verse 27 to also include the event of the 3 days. The event of the 3 days will also be included in 44 to 45. Are you following me? So now this is why in 45 they could now comprehend the scriptures, everything together. Hallelujah. That is, they cannot marry Genesis to Malachi and the four gospels and the synoptic together. Can I marry? This is it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So this shows. I said this for a reason. This shows that since they were writing to their audience and solving issues in their world, using man's around man's activity, and they did it with the gospel. So that means Jesus would have to go to their world when teaching the scriptures. We are going to come here shortly. Hallelujah. Jesus would have to go to their world. Whose world? Genesis to Malachi. Hallelujah. We saw this during our teaching on the revelation of God, right? Right? We saw it. Glory to God.
Even if you don't pay the anniversary, it shows that it's that person that got that cost.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, just around something around the corner, what I read from E.W. Kenyon
years back,
when he said they were solving the issue in their world with the word of God, E.W. Kenyon says something that the gospel is the answer to all of man's problems. E.W. Kenyon said that, and very true. Hallelujah. So they will solve the issues in their world with the gospel, which is God's story, God's intervention, which is God's story, and God's story is God's intervention plan. And take note, God uses man's language. Hallelujah. God uses man's language. Look at Samuel. God didn't call Samuel with a foreign language. He called him with a language he was known with. Right? Whose voice uses Eli's voice? Right? So God uses man's language. Hallelujah. God uses what is available to man to save man. So he used the man to save man. God uses what is available to man to save man. Therefore, he will use their language. Hallelujah. He will use their language. He will use human language. In fact, when they were in unbelief, when they now walked in unbelief, he did not throw them away. He used the simplest form of their language, which is their parables which is their prefigurings. He came down to use the simplest form of their language because of their unbelief, which you will find in Matthew 19:8. He said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Matthew 13:13. He said, Jesus will say, I spoke to them in parable because seeing they see not. He said, hearing they hear not. That is the definition of unbelief. So because of unbelief, God will see too low. I permit that word, but that is what he did. God becoming a man is God, stooping low to man's level. So God will always come to man's level of understanding to explain to man, even in unbelief. I want to say this so that as you go to evangelism, see, leave all this foolishness you are doing. There are times when you meet people who are broken, you speak it, you're about speaking. God always comes down to the level of man. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? He basically knows proverb and you are good in proverb. That's a proverb. Finish it in proverb. I believe God uses what is available to man to save man. Are you following me? Don't be following your carrying eyeglass and you are looking like Jackie Chan. You do not be speaking grammar. You know, you because you are walking in back. Come on! Speak Latin! Hey, the way are the. Like someone wanted, they said, there's no one to see Brooklyn, like, look at Nigeria. Yeah, come get out. Someone asked me one time in our class in GS1, he said, what is the house flag? Ah! Am I the forest person in this class? What is the house flag? He said, teacher was teaching us inter-science, go to science, say house fly. No, it's a hand. Sorry, ma'am, please, what is house fly? Hi! How you have my wealth? Give you fly. Oh, what do you mean? What's house fly?
No, broken.
No, broken. I blew you.
Hallelujah. Check, I see. When people are going to science.
Hallelujah.
I want to minister to somebody that don't know what is broken.
Broken? You're not broken. You feel speak.
I want to speak. Do you know pigeon? What is pigeon? Is that something that
broken? Hallelujah. You see those guys that are like, you teach you what is available to money. Are you hearing me?
Well, can you find five grand?
The word of God. Some will not be giving Greek. You know the Greek word for disciple. Even down to your. I wanted to tell you, if I would visit any cell meeting, and see the Greek word for teaching is didasco. I'm telling you because I've seen it. Greek word. Ah! Cell. Greek word. I'm teaching you that when you want to teach, you know how to apply. You know, now go for evangelism. Say, you know, I'm not ashamed of the focus of Christ. The power of God. You know the word power? That word God is the power of God unto salvation. That word salvation. If you look at it, that word is a Greek word that is gotten from a Hebrew word. Are you done? Yes. You come down. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Remember, it's at the end of this teaching, we should be able to see what that global, but that's what I trust God will be able to see. Hallelujah. Irrespective of our social status, we'll be able to preach the gospel to the elderly, to the Jonathan, to different walks of life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, very important. Very important. So, God will use what is available to man to save man. And because of unbelief, because of their unbelief, God will now come down to their level still. Did you get it? Come down to their level. You know? Hallelujah. They plant trees to show use for longevity. Yeah? That is why trees are planted for longevity. So now Moses will now write tree of life. Did you see that? To explain what eternal life. Are you following? I say eternal life, they are thinking, see this, longevity, eternal life, tree of life. I need to see that. Are you following me? Glory to God. So he will come down to their level. So that's why he wants to win man.
Glory to God.
And that will be God's intervention around man's activity. That will be the gospel. Right? That is God's intervention plan. That is God's salvation plan, right? Romans 1:1-2. Romans 1:1-2. Moses, Paul. How we call it the gospel of God. Hallelujah. Romans 1. Romans 1:1-2 say, Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle separated to the gospel of God. He calls it the gospel of God. Isn't that gospel of God? Which was promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. When you use the word Holy Scriptures, the mind goes to Genesis to Malachi. I follow Genesis to Malachi. So, what John has called God's story, told within the activities of men, Paul calls it the gospel. This is the gospel of God, right? It's the gospel, God's story, God's salvation plan, God's intervention in man's world. Hallelujah. 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 So that means, since God will use their language, listen, since God will use their language, God will use their language, God will use their language in that day, which is what we are about to, we'll get there shortly. Since God will use that language, that means Jesus, and between Genesis to Malachi and the synoptic is over, I don't know if I was right in my calculation, 4,000 years, right? Is it 2,000 or 4,000? Over. That's over, sha. Hallelujah. Let me use over. Over 4,000 years. Language has evolved. Language has evolved. It has changed. In fact, I was sharing with some of our pastors. I just want to give us a glimpse. That just shortly before this meeting, that before this session, that even between that Old Testament, language has evolved. I believe. Between Genesis to Malachi, amen. You know, number one, Hebrew, first of all, Hebrew was what they learned in Egypt. Should you understand? Hebrew language is Egypt language. They came out of Egypt, walked into Canaan. Like that, like that. When you are getting towards Jeremiah, Nehemiah, and the like, and Daniel, you know, language has evolved because they went into different nations and learned their languages. So their duty, and you know, their duty is what they still have as scripture is still what Genesis to Genesis to Deuteronomy. Do you understand me? And some of David's writings and all. So that's what they had. David's writings, Solomon, that's what they had around them as what scripture, as writing. So they will have to read in Hebrew and translate it to their world in that language. Are you following me? Though they spoke Hebrew, but when it was getting to the days of Nehemiah, or in the days of when they were entering into the Grecian captivity, history had it that the Greek language began to influence the world right from the Babylonian captivity. The Greek language began to influence the world. That was definitely, and became very prominent within the four gospels. Very prominent within the four gospels. So very important. So but you would have to see the fact that they have to do a whole lot of work because what they had was in Hebrew, and you know, children were being schooled in Greek and other languages. Do you understand? So you have to relate it, you have to cross that language barrier
Do you understand me? There's what they call language barrier. Jesus still had to do it. Hallelujah. The apostles still have to do it. If I get to look at what Jesus did in Luke 24, let's look at that. One of those barriers you have to cross even to our day today will be in the story of redemption. Will be in the story of, or in the word redemption. You know you would have to reread it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to reread it again. Because that word redemption, to redeem, redeem actually, a not
RCCG, you know,
but redeem. The word redeem, you have to read it again. Redeem in the Hebrew is the word gal, G-A-A-L, gal. So it's the word gal in the Hebrew. But, you know, but when the writers of the epistles were to cross that language barrier, as we call it, they couldn't find a word that would fit into the word God. That word God has in itself a background. I believe the word God has a background. As we progress in this teaching, I'll get to teach us about background when we get to study. Things you watch out for as you read scriptures. You have to look at the background also. The background will include the language and things like that. But it has a background. And the background will be the covenant made with Abraham. The covenant made with Abraham in Genesis 15 verse 18. Let's look at Genesis 15. The word redeem will come from, will have that background of covenant. Genesis 15 verse 18. Are you in Genesis 15? Okay, I'll read verse 18. It says, and on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants I have given the land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river of Euphrates, the Canaanites, the Kenizzites, the Cabmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and the Raphians, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girashites, and the Jebusites. Hallelujah. So in verse 18, God entered into a covenant with Abraham. That word covenant is the word berit in the Hebrew. It's a word that is used for a league of confederacy. I heard that for the first time from E.W. Kenyon, the book, The Blood Covenant. The Blood Covenant, one small book like that. Hallelujah. Huh? Hallelujah. E.W. Kenyon, I learned that from him. So, an example of such a covenant, you just a chapter before, that is Genesis 14. Look at what happened. Genesis 14, verse 13. Verse 14. In verse 14. Now, when Abraham heard his brother was taken captive, Genesis 14, 13, sorry. And one who escaped from, the capturing in Sodom and Gomorrah, came and told Abraham, the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the terebinth tree of Mamre and Amorites, brother of Amen. The tree of Mamre and Amorite, brother of Eshcol, and the brother of Anna, and they were allies. That is the word. They were allies with Abraham. That word allies is what we call confederacy. Hallelujah. Like a covenant. League of confederacy. Now, I believe they were allies. From that book, Blood Covenant, what happened here is that they became allies with Abraham. So what E.W. Kenyon said is that a confederacy is when a lesser or a weaker nation goes into agreement with a stronger or a bigger nation. Do you understand me? Or a bigger person, just like what just happened now, came into confederacy with Abraham. Do you understand me?
So today we will call covenant now. What the person that people comes to people's mind is relationship. You do cause blood. I had a brother like that. I came to me one time and said, I don't know what to do. Even before I did this was before I met Pastor Shelby. Like, I like, what happened? She said, my dear friend. I said, what happened? She said, I want to leave her, but I don't know how to leave her. I said, what happened? She said, he didn't want to tell me what he said. I leaked something. I said, what did you leak? He said, we cut blood. He said, we cut blood in our hand. We now join it together. And then leaked it. Well, I understand. Those things were still, he's still active in where he stays. He stays one of these low countries in Africa. Very low countries. I don't want to mention the name. But very low. As in, civilization is far from me. So they will not leave. He was telling me, he came to my house, I was telling him, I will leave blood. I was like, interesting. And I said, what should I do? And I said, see, that is a small issue. And then, how would I do? I've been praying. What somebody said? He said, I'm going to meet the pastor. He said, you can't go poop blood. He said, what is that breaking? And I'm going to. I like everything I do. Come on, somebody else! Blood, come. Blood, me. The guy was like, you are coming? What's happened to me? I said, nothing! Nothing. Too much Nollywood, but understand that place. Yes, please. But you know, when you have covenants, there's some people in society, you won't realize relationship. When a weaker and a lesser country or a lesser nation or lesser person goes into someone who is big, for one, is used for majorly for protection, to protect the weaker, the bigger nation, protect the weaker nation from threats. You understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that confederacy, when they enter into it, means that what you have becomes mine. What I have is yours. That is, I can defend you. Will call it that you are my brother. Jonathan, that was what was practiced in the in Africa though. I'm trying to remember the name he used this way in Africa. So you become brothers by that covenant, blood covenant, by that covenant. Jonathan, so by that covenant, you guys are now brothers. So those of you who did SOA, you have it in your notes now. So I'm telling you to bring your textbook. I need to burn it. You guys are sick keeping it. You guys want to use it to judge me. God will judge you first. Before you judge me, God will judge all of you. Together as a church. Together. I don't want to use it. But plus you. You have to return it. Because it's our partner judgment on all of you. Hallelujah. Return it and you shall be at peace. And you. Where were you? Okay, you are still doing well then. Hallelujah. You are still joining. You are still joining. Fight is better.
Underwater.
You are still joining. You know, whenever I think of welding, you know what comes to my mind? How are you to carry trolley to go and give one welder to weld the trolley that year? What comes to my mind is wheelbarrow. You are welding wheelbarrow. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Lord has done it for you. From welding, you are not a cripple. That is God's intervention. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When a welder becomes your financial advisor, you will invest into fast to earn, into a lot. But if you did, you know the story you have invested into. Amen. Good financial advice. Fast to end. You still have money there. Hallelujah. Let's come back. So, confederacy. Right? That was all well. Glory to God. So, therefore, I was explaining something for me, W. Kenyon. So two people that are not from the same parenthood cannot call themselves brothers
by that covenant. That was a practice in the old in Africa years back. Understand? You cannot call brother because of that covenant we have together. What is mine is yours and what is yours is mine. So when God entered into the covenant with Abraham, no. I didn't say it to her, please. What is mine is yours and what is yours is mine. Hallelujah. Amen. This is when you have carnal people that carry Bible. Right, what you expect? Carnal people. Carry Bible. Hallelujah. Very soon, I will start speaking to you and not to spiritual. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, God entered into a covenant with Abraham. So, that means Abraham cannot be called like what E.W. Kenyon calls it a. Is now Abraham, or God is now Abraham's next of kin. Do you understand me? Is now like Abraham's brother, one who stands for him. Do you understand me? Are you following me? So God is now Abraham's next of kin. And why is it next of kin? It shows value. It shows I now value this one. What is yours is mine, and mine is yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that is why God can now say, I'll give to you the land. Do you see that? So the concept of land will now come again because what he's in covenant with Abraham. We can now talk about the land to Abraham, which we said yesterday. The land is the spirit. Right? Right? Was that what we said? Was that what we said yesterday? So the land is the spirit. Hallelujah. God gets the message from promised land. So the land is the spirit. So the land will now come again. So the land will be God's spirit. Right? Right? Because of what? That covenant. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, when you don't get to Exodus 6:6, remember God is Abraham's next of kin, right? You get to Abraham 6 verse, I have said Abraham, Exodus 6:6. He says, therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I'll bring you out of the bondage of the Egyptians. I'll rescue you from bondage. I mean, from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched hand. When he says, I will redeem you with an outstretched hand, he is saying he will invoke, like saying, I will invoke my covenant as a kinsman redeemer based on the value he has placed on that relationship he has with Abraham. Are you following me? Because they are descendants of Abraham. Are you following me? And remember, he had said that ahead of time to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, verse 8. I will give them the land. Do you understand? Now, the people he will give the land to are already what? In captivity. So he says, I will come in as a kingman redeemer. Why? Because of that confederacy that I have with you, with Abraham. Are you following that? Are you following me? So the concept of a redeemer is actually the concept of what? A kingsman's or a kingsman coming in to stand in for another. Are you following me? To stand in for another. Pastor Shabu will give an example of, please permit me, that is the best example I can give for now. How the father had some of his valuables in the bank. I'm tempted to call the name of the bank. I didn't mention the name of the bank. I don't know why I'm tempted to call the name of the bank. So, the father has some valuable in the bank. So when the father died, he had to go there as the next of kin to claim those valuables. Do you understand? And he was asked, what's your name? He said, his name is Shevin. Do you get something like that? And then it was based on the fact that the name tallied with who the father gave as who the next of kin. He cannot retrieve those valuables of his father. Do you get? Eh? Did he pay any price? No. He just came in as a kingman redeemer. So that is the word. Now, when that word gal is used for a kingsman redeemer, right? One who stands for another that he places value on. So the watchword there will be value. Value. That will be the watchword. That will be the main word, value. So when this word is not to be used in the Greek. Now, in the Greek, the Greek language don't have a word for to represent the word gal. Did you see? There's no word to use to represent that word kinsman. Do you get kinsman? So now, how would they now tell it to their audience in the Greek? The epistles, the writers of the epistles, how would they now, and even the synoptic, how would they now say to their audience, Kinsman Redeemer? Are you following me? Because the Greek has no word, just like the Hebrew, for a kinsman redeemer, a kinsman. Do you understand me? We don't have that direct word. So you see, every interpreter, every pastor is an interpreter, right? Every teacher of the gospel is an interpreter, and you have to interpret that language. Are you following me? So because there was no word, the writers of the New Testament books will not employ different words, like the word lutrosis. That word lutrosis implies to pay a ransom, like you are paying a ransom. Remember the word for now. What would they do? They would look at now, because of the fact that this is their audience and they want to bring about redeem. Right? Now, what would they do? They will go back to the Old Testament book where the word redeem is used. Remember, they are interpreting from there, right? Now, where the word redeem is used, now they will now look for a word that suits that word. Now, what, since they don't have a word that suits that word in the Greek, what is the what word? Value. Do you understand? Value is the main word, right? I came in to say, because of value I placed on that covenant. Do you understand me? So therefore, since they don't have a word for that, the closest word they will have will be lutrosis, where you pay something where you pay something to get another thing. Are you following me? Lutrosis. To pay a ransom. So when you pay a ransom, why would they use that? They will use that because when you pay a ransom, it shows that you value that thing you are ransomed. Right? Right? So that word has value around it. That word lutrosis is another word, lutro. It's another word, lutro. A word you find in Luke 24:21, where it says, we thought it was he that will redeem Israel. Luke 24:21. We find this in Titus 2:14, 1 Peter 1:18. Lutro. Lutro will mean to ransom by paying a price. To ransom someone by paying a price. You get to ransom by paying a price. Remember, you will, that price will be what? Value, right? That will be value. Are you following me? Another word, that word lutro, L-U-T-R-O-O, lutro, is from another word. Lutron. It implies to losing with a ransom. To losing with a ransom. Or with a ransom price. You find out in Mark 10:45. Yeah? Mark 10:45. Matthew 20:28. To losing with a ransom. This deals with slaves, actually. Slaves. And the base of lutro is the word luo, L-U-O. That means this is the root word. Luo, L-U-O. It means to loosen or to melt. To loosen or to melt. We have other surrounding words used for the word redeem. Is the word agorazo. In the Greek, agorazo and exo and ex agorazo. Agorazo, A-G-O-R-A-Z-O, agorazo. It implies to buy in a marketplace. To buy in a marketplace. I'm going to be fast. Well, yes, look at it a bit again on Saturday. To buy in a marketplace. Do you understand me? To buy from a marketplace. Exa, G-O-R-A-Z-O, agorazo, It means to redeem or ransom. Sorry, this one is used for slave. So that means I was wrong in Lutheran, but I'll check that out later. It means to ransom a slave by buying up. By buying up the slave, meaning you pay the price. You find out in Galatians 3:13, Galatians 4:5. We'll get to look at, we'll read the scriptures by Saturday, but you can get help to read them. Ephesians 5:16, Colossians 4:5. Just because of time, spent over 2 hours. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:5. Yes, I'm preparing you. Ephesians 5:16. Colossians 4:5. I'm preparing you for December. December will still 10 hours. And I'm not going to pick any place. When I'm done, I'm going to sit and stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, when you look at that word, they now employ that word, like, I'll have to pay ransom to get. But remember, the writers have, they are writing from where? The Old Testament book, which means the King Man Redeemer. And when you look at it from a King Man Redeemer, do you need to pay anything? No. I came in to take, right? To rescue what is mine, right? What belongs to me. That is why he will call, that is why God will call in Exodus 14:2, Israel my firstborn. Do you understand? What is mine? What is rightfully mine? Do you get it? And we will call Israel my firstborn based on the covenant he has entered to with Abraham in Genesis 15:18. Glory to God. Now, when you now read, if you now get to the Greek translation or the epistles, and you see redeem and you see lutros, or lutron, and you see you pay to get something. You know, that will now, without reading the fact that, remember we said when a scripture is quoted, you have to go back to read it all, right? In context. The context will mean to read everything in the Old Testament book, where the eye of how it has been written for you there. Now, when you look at it, when you go back to look at it from the textbook, was that what we said? Yeah. When you go back to look at it from the textbook, which is the Old Testament book, you see how it is used. You will not make that mistake that Jesus had to pay his, have to pay, give his blood to who? You answered that question years back, I was wrong. Hallelujah. Who did Jesus pay the price to? The price of his blood. Some people say it was God. So that means, because when you are looking at it from the Greek alone, and reading it in your today's language, you know, when they wrote it in Greek, they understood what they were writing and their audience understood it. So today, you too have to cross that barrier. Now, if you now read it in your today's language, you now ask yourself, Jesus paid the price of the blood to who? Right? Because of the way it is used in the Greek, lutron. Right? Lutron, lutrosis. Right? Now, you know, who did he pay it to? Some people answered it, you paid to God. So that means God held you, held man in captivity. Now needed Jesus' blood. Now sent Jesus to go and die. Now bring his blood to him. No, now. That is wrong. Some people now say it is God. So God, I mean, it is Satan. So God had to pay Satan. No. Now, all those different concepts will now be springing up in people's heads. Because of why? The way it was used in the Greek. And you are now reading it in your today's language. Hallelujah. Another word again that will, that is causing the same, that is posing the same issue is the word predestination. You know? We said a bit of it last week, but we still want to look at it by some of the predestination. Because you are reading it to this world, you don't think that we have been predestined by God to go to hellfire. Do you get? Because you are reading it to this world. But when that word is not what God, that is not what God is saying. But because you are reading what was said in your today's world, you think some people are predestined to hell. But you have to go back, you have to cross that barrier. Language that has evolved over time, but the message is the same. Do you understand? Language evolved over time, the message is the same. So the same way too, Jesus did not pay any price to anybody. No. The writers of the epistles, which is what we call the New Testament books, of the New Testament book, which is Greek, they use that word to show what? Value. So when you say to pay a ransom to get something, ransom to who? You get, but they used it so that when they use that word to pay in the Greek, what they know as to pay is you are talking about value.
money to make, I mean, money is used for value, honor, value. You know that to make useful money, useful honor, useful value. And people knowing that. So they want you to see that it's value you're talking about, not actually the ritual exchange of money. Like, I see you're a money market. Jonathan, hallelujah. Are you following me? Sure, you're following me. So, when they write, they are writing a concept in the Old Testament book, and they expect you to go back and see, right? This is where this concept is coming from. So, they will also need you to cross that barrier the way they've crossed it. So, we are going to look at how to read today. How to read the Old Testament. Because I'm giving you this now, you know, this is the work a Bible student has to go through. Hallelujah. And every time you are reading the Bible, you have to cross that line. Hallelujah. So Jesus too would have to do that. On their way to Emmaus, you know, language has changed. So he would have to cross the barrier. Hallelujah. He would have to. Glory to God. Luke 24, verse 27. He says, "Upon the Christ to suffer this thing and enter into his glory." He said, "Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. That's the word, expounded. Unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." That word expounded is the word diamenio. Diamenio. Are you following me? Is the word diamenio in the Greek. So therefore, diamenio is from the compound word of dia and hemenio. Dia and hemenio. Dia implies to cut across. Dia, to cut across. Hemenio, which is from the word hamis. Or else. It's a word that implies to explain. To explain. A chief speaker, an interpreter, one who interprets a language. This is for Paul. One who interprets a chief speaker. What it implies is that Jesus also, in the 40 days, on their way to Emmaus, and when he had the larger audience, would interpret the language of the prophet. He would interpret. He would have to cross that line by interpreting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus will have to cross that line by interpreting. That's the language barrier. He will have to interpret. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that means in Jesus' day, their language is actually Greek, right? And they had Hebrew scriptures, right? They have the Hebrew scriptures translated in Greek, the Septuagint, hallelujah. They have the Hebrew Bible in Greek language. So Jesus will have to read the Septuagint, which is the Greek Bible, right? The Greek Bible, is it Greek or Hebrew? I don't know. The Hebrew Bible translated in Greek. You have to read that, and then you have to make reference to the Hebrew Bible itself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus too will have to explain. Hallelujah. Something we'll have to see shortly is Paul too. We have to do the same. And he will say some things along that line in Matthew 13, but we'll get there. So therefore, Jesus Daniel will mean that one, he followed a systematic way of explaining scripture from Genesis. Right? Okay, from Genesis, contextually reading it. Right? And in contextually reading it, he will first of all use Bible words, Bible way. These are things that we will yet expand on Saturday. He will use Bible words, Bible way. We saw one yesterday, the use of water, right? The use of water. When we saw it, was it the same? The way Jesus uses water, was it the same with the way Moses uses water? I mean, used water. Yes, right? We saw it also in Ezekiel, right? As the Spirit. And John 2, right? Down to Jesus. So we use Bible words, Bible way. Hallelujah.
water will be spirit, rock will be Christ, right? Message. So he will use, he will also use, I mean, he will also read figure of speech as it is. That is, what I mean as it is, as what it points to. Hallelujah. He will not try to give it his own explanation to be the same. So Jesus' use of seed will be seed in Genesis. Are you following me? Yeah? Jesus' use of land will be land in Genesis. Jesus' use of water will be water in Genesis. Are you following me? Jesus' use of land, of light, will be light in Genesis. So we'll use it the same way. Now, he will also pay attention to the audience. So that means we'll look at Damenu. We'll pay attention to the audience. Because when scriptures were written, they were written to a specific audience. Jesus, you recognize that. You must recognize that, that it was written to a specific audience first. So Jesus, in his Damenu, right, in his explanation, will understand the fact that scripture had its audience. Do you understand me? So, had its audience. They wrote to. Hallelujah. I have something in my notes. He says, what they wrote is God's story, which will show God's salvation in their active, in man's activities. What he does, in their activities, and it will also carry the weight of what God does, which will be salvation. When they wrote to their audience, they will write in the languages of the audience. Jesus will recognize that. In the languages of the audience that they will understand. And which might not be the same with the languages of Jesus' audience. Are you following me? So you see that, so Jesus must recognize, or Jesus recognized the fact, which you must do, that there is what? There are different audiences at different times. Right? Right? Are you following me? Different audiences, and they have different languages. Hallelujah. We are moving closer to the path that Dixon likes, but I'm running away from it. Hallelujah. If you don't know, don't bother to know. Hallelujah. Dixon likes it very well.
Hallelujah.
Unification identifiers. But you will not hear it from me. I will not teach it now. But he will have different audience, right? But what he will do is that he will get it. Hallelujah. Not to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You have to learn everything that also be learned before you get to unification identifiers. Hallelujah. So there's a whole lot to be taught first before you get there. Hallelujah. So, just to recognize that, the language of the audience will also be affected. Jesus recognized that the language of the audience will be affected by the economic and the cultural activities of the different worlds. Jonathan, so you must recognize that. Today, we are digital. So when somebody hears land, in a day, you ask, is it your time? Land. Do you get it? But land is not used that way today, right? Say, he will give you a land. Say, is it an estate survey or is it working with Android hopes, right? Right? But, you know, you must understand the fact that those things, cultural, whatever. So what Jesus did within the 40 days was that he took them back and what he did was that he will explain the events, the languages, figures of speech, etc. He will explain that. And in verse 45, he will explain it. That is, he will have a lot of, so he will explain those events, explain, like in Matthew 19, verse 7, when they asked him, then why did Moses then give us the bill of divorcement and say we should put her away? One of Jesus' response said, look at what he said. You know, Moses was not writing to the Pharisees and the scribes. Was he writing to them? No. They were different audiences. Moses was writing to his audience, but Jesus turned and said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart. Of course, but Moses didn't write to them, but to the Pharisees. Jesus had just told something. Hallelujah. He has brought in the fact that the reason why Moses told them to put away their wives permissively, because he was permissive, was because of what? The hardness of their heart. He said, the way the Greek put it, Moses in view of your heart. That is to say, it was Moses being permissive, allowing them to put away their wives, but it is for, but because of what? The hardness of their heart. So what Jesus has done is that he has just said, see, you are just like Moses' audience. Do you understand? You are just like Moses' audience. So it's because of that hardness of our sclerocardia. The word used for stubbornness, used for unbelief. So it was God of unbelief, stubbornness, and a hardened, wicked heart. That was why Moses became permissive. Put her away, don't kill her, put her away. Do you understand? Are you following me? Because the attitude then was that if you are done with your wife and you don't like her anymore, don't kill her. And they'll clap for you to kill, when you kill your wife. Yes, don't kill. Yeah. Hallelujah. When you kill a woman, it's normal. So women were treated like you were trash. Not to be in our world. Hallelujah. Not in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that was how callous their word is. That was how hardened their word is. You get hardened their word is. So Moses will now say, see, you are not different from Moses' audience. You're not different from those in Moses' audience. Do you understand me? So what Jesus has now painted, has now shown you is the reason why Moses wrote like this is because when Moses was telling them to put away their wife was because there is a background. And that background was a world where they were brutal. They were brutish, they were killing at will and was taken as norm. Do you understand me? It was a wicked world. So Moses, because seeing that wickedness, rather than killing the woman, knowing the fact that God made man and woman in himself, you know that God's plan is for man, the man and woman to be in Christ, in his image, right? And that says, okay, why not, rather than killing her, why not just give her a paper and let her go? Just allow her be. Do you see? So Moses is now, because of your hardness of your heart, you're not supposed to put her away, but because you're hardening her to kill her, allow her go. You know that? So there's a background. I believe it. So Jesus will not recognize that background. And as a Bible student, you have to know the background. Well, we'll treat background on Saturday. You have to see the background. There is a background to what was written. I hear you. We're not going to go background in detail, but you know, we have to appreciate that reading format to understand the background. I follow you. Hallelujah. So Moses wasn't writing to them, but Jesus said, well, Moses has written, you could actually see your kind of person in that background. So it was because of because that means the audience of Moses were like you, hardened heart, wicked heart. Hallelujah. Unbelief. And he said, that was the reason he gave you a permissive week. Say, but from the beginning, meaning but from Genesis, it is supposed to be man and woman in Christ. Did you see that? Are you following me? So there is a background. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he will took them, Jesus will take them back, explain the event, explain the figures, right? Right? So now the disciples, now he will explain the background. Was that what I said? Right? So in verse 45, Luke now says they now comprehend it. Means they could now see. Oh, this is the reason. Oh, you know, they can now put the event and everything together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Do you understand? Why did Moses allow them to be somebody offended? You should bring a sacrifice. Is it not Moses that is giving them the law? If you are in that world, you will know that what Moses has done is the law of God. You don't know. It's the law of God. Because that world, if somebody steals what belongs to you, and you catch the person that. That's how brutal that world is. Are you hearing me? So Moses will now say, okay, how am I killing? What if that your goat is, what if he gives you two goats?
from one that guy, I have two. Makes sense. What if he gives you money? You see, he says, money is writing law. Money is writing law. Okay, but if you are dead, that is God permissiveness. Do you see that? Hallelujah. They're sacrificing themselves for sacrifice. Moses said, no, sacrifice animal. Aha. Can you see? Sacrifice animal. Do you see that? It's permissiveness. Hallelujah. He has done you wrong. Why not killing him and roasting his meat? Why not if he gives you 2 cows? You enjoy cow. 2 only you. You roast it. Makes sense. Right? Makes sense. That is God's intervention in their world. Did you see that? So Moses will not give them that permissiveness because of the hardness of their hearts. Can you understand that now? Hallelujah. That becomes the background. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So Jesus shows us that there's a background to what was written. So I have to look at what is the background. Hallelujah. So why do we have Genesis? The background will be what? Exodus. Right? Why do we have Deuteronomy? There was a Genesis. There is a Genesis that was told in the Exodus. And when they got to Numbers, they were hardened people. So there was reason for a second law. Do you see that? So there's always a background. Learn to read with the background. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Okay. Let's begin to press some break. I'll go
round up.
Hallelujah. So Paul in Matthew 13, verse 27,
we explore this next week. He says, Paul will say they crucified Christ because they know not the language of the prophet. That's the word phonies.
Hallelujah. They know not the language of the prophets. That is to say, the language has changed over time in the world. Hallelujah. And because they couldn't understand the language of the prophet, they killed the Messiah, not knowing the language of the prophet. So the duty of every Bible teacher is to be able to interpret the language of the prophet correctly, just as Jesus and the apostles did
correctly.
This calls for diligence. Can you see why Paul went on to tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, he says, study to show thyself, that means be diligent to show thyself approved, verse 1, who need not to be ashamed. He says, rightly dividing the words of truth. So, rightly dividing the words of truth, meaning to cut across carefully. I'll be careful. I'll pay attention to detail. I'll pay attention to background. I'll pay attention to how words are used. Pay attention to, whom you were said to, how it was said. Hallelujah. Pay attention to the figure of speech used. Not to use it literally, but to leave it, but to use it how it was pointed or what it was pointing to. Use it as what it meant. Not use it literally. Do you understand me? I will look at it carefully. Hallelujah. So, Bible study calls for diligence. There's no rush to it. There's no rush to Bible study. Never be in a rush. Are you hearing me? Never be in a rush. Hallelujah. Never be in a rush. Glory to God. So we'll see you on Saturday.